ABC Radio Australia.
With Pacific Beat here on ABC Radio Australia for a Friday morning. Our focus is on sport, and the teams from New Caledonia and New Zealand will go head-to-head in the OFC Under-17 Championship Final in Suva this weekend, safe in the knowledge that the big prize has already been secured for both, namely places at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in Peru at the end of the year. The Young All Whites made the decider with a convincing 4-1 win over hosts Fiji, while Le Cagu eventually defeated their arch-rivals Tahiti after a penalty shootout in the other semi-final. OFC's Jamie Waller's in Fiji for the big game. Joins us now from Suva. Jamie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Richard. Thank you for having me on.
It's always an interesting prospect, a final like this, because essentially both sides really wanted those World Cup places, and that's what they've secured. I mean, how do you think they will approach the final? I mean, and clearly they want to win, but is it as important to them as those World Cup places?
Well, you'd have to ask them that, but I think you can make a pretty reasonable presumption that they've kind of got what they came for, in terms of, especially New Caledonia would have been, you know, knowing that this is their best chance to perform on a world stage, you know, and qualify for this Under-17 FIFA World Cup. That's happening later in the year in Peru. That's why the two semifinals, I guess, were pretty exciting, because they had a bit of a final air about them. And then the scenes at the end when New Caledonia won that shootout. Obviously, shootouts are incredibly dramatic as they are. So, you know, they're always going to be happy when they win. But it was just a little bit of extra happiness on display there. So I still think we're going to see a very competitive final. You know, it's silverware. New Caledonia have never won the OFC Under-17 Championship before, so there's a bit of extra added motivation for them. And, of course, New Zealand are the defending champions, so there's their motivation as well. And having spent a good bit of time with the two teams over the last week or so, you know, they are a very impressive professional group of young men who understand that having this in their footballing CV, a win in a major tournament, will definitely turn a few heads in the years to come when they're moving up the grades. Some of these guys are already in professional setups already. So to have that that tick in your column will mean a lot in their footballing futures.
And just to make the point, I mean, New Caledonia sent an under-17 team to the World Cup in 2017. They lost to France, they lost to Honduras, shipped quite a few goals, but then in their last pool game, they drew 1-1 with Japan. Their captain, Jacob Jenner, was the scorer. He now plays League Two in France for Grenoble. They played in front of a 44,000 crowd in Kolkata. And what's interesting is Japan then went on to draw with England and only lost that game on a penalty shootout. And England won the Under-17 World Cup that year. So it just shows you that, you know, maybe the likes of New Caledonia are not so far off the pace.
No, not at all. And I would expect them to be competitive in their group when we find out what it is later on in the year, because they play a very attractive style of football. They're very fast. They will win, if nothing else, they'll win a few fans with the way that they play. And then for New Zealand as well, the New Zealand Federation is obviously moving into a new World Cup cycle, and some of these guys may well be on the cusp of making the senior team for the next World Cup because of the qualification system that will be in place for a new expanded Senior Men's World Cup next time. New Zealand have the best chance to possibly qualify. So I think a lot of those boys will be having that in the back of their mind as well, because by that stage they'll be, you know, 20, 21. And, yeah, like I said, some of them are already in professional setups already. We talked the other week about Marley Luluai at Manchester City. We also had Adam Watson from Stoke City scoring a hat-trick in that semi-final. And Luke Connor, who's just signed with Western United in Melbourne. Luke Coveney, rather, who signed with Western Sydney and Melbourne, Western United, rather. God, I'm getting tongue-tied this morning. Sorry, Richard. And, you know, there's a lot of guys as well involved with the Phoenix and Wellington. And then for the New Caledonians, like you mentioned, there's a lot of eyes of big French clubs on those islands, keeping an eye on the talent to take them over and give them a go in their league setup.
Interesting, you mentioned the name there of Luca Coveney, son of Vaughan, who for a long time, until quite recently, in fact, was New Zealand's all-time top scorer at senior level. He was overtaken by Chris Woods, I think, last year. Now, Luca could play for Australia or New Zealand. Currently, he's in the New Zealand camp, but I guess he's playing under 17, so he could yet swap sides, couldn't he, at senior level?
That's correct. That's correct. I had a good chat with both Luca and Vaughan during the week, and I mean that possibility is open. It's obviously one that was taken by Gianni Stensnes earlier this year. I mean, and that's just the way the world is at the moment. You know, we talked last year at the Women's Nations Cup about how these teams are pulling in players from all around the world because that's simply a way of being competitive. That's the same for New Zealand as well. There's a lot of offshore-based players. And at this level, you know, the option there is open for them to represent other nations when they mature. So, you know, for his career, it's just another potential career path that he might be on.
Okay, so the big game, New Zealand against New Caledonia, Fiji and Tahiti will play off for third place. Just one other thing I wanted to discuss with you, that the calendar is out for the year for OFC and all the various tournaments that will be played both at club and international level. Particularly interested in the Women's Champions League. I mean, this will be new. How is this going to play out exactly? Because there aren't too many well-established women's leagues in the Pacific.
Yep, fair call. But we're hoping that by establishing this Champions League that we can then promote the growth of women's football in the region and therefore give clubs another incentive to fund their women's programs, develop players, and then give them this platform to play on with a trophy and financial incentive there at the end. So this is the first time we're doing this. It had been delayed, like a lot of other things, by COVID. And, you know, it's a great year for the women's game to be taking centre stage for us because, obviously, New Zealand and Australia are co-hosting the World Cup later in the year. So that's coming up in March in Papua New Guinea. And yeah, it's at the moment it's starting off with I believe 8 teams and looking to expand at one point and looking to mirror the outcome of our men's Champions League, whereby the winner will qualify for a FIFA Women's Club World Cup, which is hopefully going to be established either this year or next. So that's part of the broader women's strategy that we have. We're looking to really pour a lot of resources and grow the women's game over the next sort of World Cup cycle, so that by the time the next Women's World Cup happens, you know, we have a solid foundation of established professional players that can benefit their host nations.
Okay, Jamie, we'll leave it there. It's going to be fascinating to see how that Women's Champions League plays out later in the year and the final in the OFC Under-17s over the weekend. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thanks very much, Richard. Great chatting.
That's Jamie Wall from OFC in Suva for the OFC Under-17 Championship Final. And talking women's soccer, of course, PNG, they're in New Zealand at the moment, preparing for a World Cup playoff against Panama next month. Should they win that, then they would play either Chinese Taipei or Paraguay. And should they win that, they'll be off to the Women's World Cup. And that will be some achievement if they manage to pull it off. And we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to the big day.